I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. It's lovely to have you with us. My name is Marcus Speller, of course, and I'm joined by Jim Campbell.
Hello.
Luke Moore is here.
All right.
Pete Donaldson is in a skip somewhere and he is not here. Eating skips.
You can't substantiate
very
that.
Literal man.
Yeah. Let's not focus on the negatives.
No.
No Pete, but oh, that's a positive. I'm just kidding, Pete.
Do you remember skips? I never particularly cared for them.
They're still around.
We had a big debate a while back about whether a skip is a crisp or not, but that was really dull, so let's not do that again.
It is for me. Throwing my hat into that debating ring. Now, let's get on with it, shall we? Liverpool versus Newcastle. Oh, my goodness. The Magpies are turning the screw. A big point for them.
Rafa's return.
Rafa's revenge.
A big point for them against Manchester City. He's returning to Anfield. He said about Liverpool, my relationship with them is quite good, so hopefully Liverpool will do me a favour.
I wouldn't count on that, Rafa.
I also don't think he said it in that kind of camp cartoon villain voice. But there you go.
Yeah.
This is the classic fixture of the Premier League era, isn't
it? Yeah.
It's impossible to talk
4-3.
About that.
4-3 Liverpool?
Yeah, indeed.
What, Keegan holding his...
Keegan! Benitez,
well, I was saying Keegan was holding his head down by the hoardings, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Are we going to see Benitez do that?
You're never going to get that out of Rafa. No, it's interesting, isn't it? Because Liverpool are in such good form. They really look like they can just... Since that Borussia Dortmund result, the confidence in them is visible. They look like they're having such a good time just knocking it about, especially at Anfield. And I think Newcastle are going to struggle here. However much they have been, you know, a little bit better of late, I think Liverpool are going to have too much for them.
That Dortmund result has changed the vibe down at Anfield, Luke.
I think, as I said a week or two ago, Klopp is really putting his stamp on this team now. And he's also given them a chance to embrace these big games. I'm not suggesting that a home game against Newcastle at this stage of the season is necessarily a big game. Mm. But the Dortmund game certainly was. The Everton game we've just seen where they were fantastic and looked like they really enjoyed themselves certainly was as well. And that's the difference between them under Klopp and under Rodgers. And I genuinely think when Klopp gets a full pre-season with that team in the summer and presumably adds a couple of players... they're going to be a force to be reckoned with next season. They really are. It's very hard to see how next season's going to go because a lot of these teams teams who've underperformed, really, Chelsea in a big way, Manchester City, Arsenal.
Haven't underperformed. They've been entirely consistent.
I was about to say, yeah.
Well, if you extend Arsenal to the last 10 years, they've underperformed. But it's what expected them, I understand that. But they're all potentially, you'd hope, going to improve. And Liverpool would certainly fit into that bracket. So it's very hard to know who's going to be up there challenging that next season. But just quickly before you move on, if you did want to bet 4-3 to Liverpool in that game with Bet365 80-1. 80-1.
It's worth a quid. At least. Benitez spoke of his team showing much more of a fighting spirit and that the fans had picked up on that and got behind the team a bit more because it's funny that, isn't it? If the fans see their players giving a bit more of a damn, they will certainly cheer for them a bit more.
It's not exactly complicated, is it?
No, but they, I mean, I couldn't believe they got a point. Could have been more.
Especially as they went behind.
Yeah.
I mean, and I spent pretty much all that game watching it thinking, if they had just played 75% as well as this, tried 75% as hard as this the whole season, they'd be fine now. Absolutely fine.
Is there an argument that it's Rafa Benitez correcting the basic mistakes and that, you know, he's obviously the...
But it's the same player, Jim.
Oh, absolutely.
There is a bit of that.
But, you know, the manager obviously is dictating what the players do and it's difficult for us to know exactly what that is.
They weren't trying.
But, mate, you know, I think maybe Benitez deserves some credit is what I'm saying because he's come in and he's clearly made a difference.
Well, he does, but there are mistakes and there are tactical issues, but then there's also the basic stuff that every player at that level should be doing. Absolutely. absolutely right as well, by the way. You're right about the Man City goal. I don't think the officiating was very good during that game generally, but that goal particularly was poor. But when it comes to the players themselves, and if it takes a new manager to come in for them to go, oh, God, we might be out in our area, we might be in the Championship, I mean, then they need to have a look at themselves. But I maintain... They should have really won that game. I mean, they played very, very well. It's the best I've seen them play this season when you take into account who the opposition was. And so Liverpool probably won't have it all their own way, but they are in very, very good form themselves.
Are you saying the 4-3 is on?
Dortmund
game,
it's possible.
Resurgent, Newcastle, Rafa, emotions high. Not the maddest shout.
I know they beat Swansea 3-0. But I think he will go very, very cagey, Rafa Benitez, and they should do because they look more solid against Man City, and that's a base for them to build on. But two players that he's taken out of that team for those two better performances and results are Shelvey and Mitrovic, the ones who look like they could provide some kind of creative and goal-scoring touch for Newcastle.
Yeah, but that said, when Mitrovic came on, he almost scored the winner, and Zabaleta basically performed the best header from a fullback I've seen this season. The ball was whipped in. And at the far post, Mitrovic rose like a salmon, but Zabaleta nipped in there.
Yeah.
Mitrovic had about 4 or 5 inches on him.
Big Mitro.
And had timed his run as well, so he had to run on him, and Zabaleta still managed to get his head to it. So Mitrovic can be busy when he comes on. He scored a couple against Norwich, was it, when he came on as well? So he can change a game, but you're right about Shelvey. I think Benitez has gone back to basics in that way, and they do look a little bit more robust, which is much needed. But I still maintain that really the quality they've got in their team. If you watch a Newcastle game on TV, see the team's lineup.
Oh yeah,
Newcastle's team is all right. It's actually not. It's not amazing, but it's not that bad.
Yeah. That's true. I think that's the point, isn't it? So it'd be an interesting one.
But I wonder how Benitez will be received by Liverpool fans.
Oh, they love him there. They absolutely love him. Yeah,
he was received well at Valencia. I'd imagine it'd be the same.
Yeah.
At Liverpool, how will Arsene Wenger be received at Sunderland? Jim?
With frosty hostility, as is the norm. Tony Pulis and Sam Allardyce in the space of 4 days. Just what we need. Just what we need, guys.
To cement that third, fourth, fifth.
Yep. Playing on Thursday night, which we may have to get used to. It's interesting. Sam Allardyce has a reputation as someone being able to beat Arsene Wenger. He's only actually beat him 4 times out of 28 meetings. But the thing is, there's been 7 draws in those 28 meetings as well. And that's the thing. He's going to get in a draw. So
Jim, we've got a stat clash here.
Stat clash.
Because I've got 5 wins for Allardyce.
5 wins?
Yeah. And 7 draws. Against Wenger's Arsenal.
He's not won as much as people may think.
That's the point.
A lot of those really went through that phase of beating him at Bolton where Giannakopoulos scored every single goal.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Giannakopoulos just getting goals against Arsenal for fun.
I think people probably mix up Allardyce's Bolton and Pulis's Stoke.
Maybe, yeah.
And they think
that Arsenal don't like that style. Because clearly, which is true, so fair enough.
Clearly those managers compared notes, which they will have done this week.
Which they might be doing right now.
Over some giggles. And some ale. Absolutely a perfect time for Arsenal to have been shown to be really weak from crosses, isn't it? Absolutely perfect. Allardyce and Pulis won't know what to do with that information. This is going to be a tough couple of games, but Arsenal just absolutely have to dig it out and win it. The Emirates is going to be very weird against West Brom, which I know we're not talking about because it would have happened by the time this comes out, because there's going to be a lot of fans not turning up by the sounds of it. And
you're going there, aren't you, Jim?
I am,
for you
my
don't
sins.
Mind.
No, I don't mind funding them to make me depressed. it's going to be an interesting one. I think the West Brom game will have a big impact on how Sunderland goes, because if Arsenal win it, a little bit more momentum, and Sunderland need something, don't they? And Arsenal have shown in recent weeks that they are always second best in terms of being up for it.
Yeah. So, but Sunderland will look at that and think we can get something, and of course they can. You look at the teams down there that have him. Palace, could have won the game at the end, even though Arsenal were the better side in the duration. It is interesting though down there in the relegation scrap. Newcastle getting that point, Sunderland and Newcastle getting wins, of course. Sunderland, that win against Norwich was huge.
Sunderland are in the ascendancy and they're out to evens with Bet365 to be relegated now. So
they don't lose as many
£10
games
on that, you'll double your money. They have got some tough games though, Sunderland. Yeah. I mean, they play Arsenal, as you said, Jim, this weekend, and they play Stoke away as well, and they play Chelsea, they play Everton, and they're away to Watford on the final day. So, but they have got a game in hand down there. Don't forget, they've played one game fewer than both Norwich and Newcastle at the time of recording. I think it's fairly hard to see them beating Arsenal. I know it's at the Stadium of Light. I just think
winning, yes, drawing.
Well, that's
okay,
it,
that's another. That's another point. Potentially, I could see
that. It would be another point.
Yeah, it would be exactly what's needed. I think this is an Arsenal win, though. I don't know. I hate doing predictions on this show because I made to look like an idiot.
Even though we have a bet of the week,
but I still think Arsenal will win this game.
I daren't even think about it.
Go on, Jim, please give us a prediction.
I would. I predict that I will be very happy if Arsenal.
No, come on, give us a prediction, and we'll pick this up on
You give me a prediction.
Yeah, go on. You do it, Spells.
I think 1-1.
1-0. Okay.
1-0. Go on, Jim.
No.
Please?
No.
Why? For the listeners' sake.
No, for
don't
my sake.
Don't disrespect the listeners.
No, I'm
Jim.
Disrespecting you.
They
are fine with.
I'm comfortable
with
that.
Trust me. Can
get your predictions in. Show at the Football Ramble and we'll see what happens.
Can we take a moment to just enjoy. I'm speaking to Marcus here, particularly Jim. Just enjoy Big Sam's grin if they are to get anything out of the game. Do you think Big Sam genuinely does hate Wenger?
Yeah, I think he does. Yeah, well, he said in his autobiography, doesn't he? He finds him really arrogant and he used to enjoy it, annoying him. I don't think it's any secret.
Like, who is it he was saying?
They won the FA Cup last season and had nought to do with him.
Was that
Benitez.
He's talking about Benitez, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So Allardyce does genuinely hate Wenger as well. I thought it was just a sort of thaw on the side.
I think there's been a bit of a thawing in recent times, but they used to clash a lot, didn't they? What I do think will happen is that there will be a lot of crosses and a lot of knockdowns for Jermaine Defoe, and that will be where Arsenal struggle if that's how it plays out.
There we are. Leicester City, they're at home to Swansea. The Swans are down there as well, but they should be okay with their points tally already. But it's all about Leicester there, that they will be Vardy-less. They need points because Spurs put out such a statement against
they
Stoke.
They certainly did. And Vardy brings points, doesn't he?
He does.
He's the most important player to his respective team in the Premier League this season. He's got 22 goals this season, which have been worth 21 points, according to Opta. But he has actually only scored 7 in his last 19 for Leicester.
Yeah,
he's had a quieter second half of the season. I know he's important, and he puts on assists, and he runs the channels, and it makes it a lot easier for Leicester as a whole. But in terms of goal scoring, he's not been in the prolific form he was in the first half of the season.
But Okazaki and Ojawa have both shown that they can step up when they need to, which is...
That was a big penalty by Ojawa, a really big penalty.
But again, it changes the way they play a lot, because Vardy's so quick that their counter-attacking is based all around that. And, as Okazaki and Ojoa, are by no means slouches, but they're not at that same sort of pace. So it'd be interesting. And, Swansea are having a rough season, but I think there's danger there. They're a better team than they've shown. And you get to this stage of the season, we're seeing it with Sunderland and Newcastle picking up points, where it's like the reality of the situation dawns on them and they start to pick up. And Swansea are probably safe, but not being completely safe might still have that same effect on them. In Sigurdsson and Bafétimbi Gomis, they've got goal threat in there as well. And I wonder also how Houston Morgan will react to sort of having the eyes on them with what happened with the referee at the weekend.
Because,
they are both very sort of tough, bustly players, especially at corners. Everyone's going to be keeping an eye on that. Everyone's going to be keeping an eye on how the referee deals with that. So is that going to, knock them a little bit?
They smashed Swansea at Swansea, didn't they? Murray's got a hat-trick against them. It's 3-0. And Swansea, I know what you're saying, Jim, because when they pulled out that win against Chelsea, it was like, where did that come from, sort of thing.
Yeah.
They are capable of that. But their record at Leicester is very poor. They've not won the last 11 games at Leicester.
Yeah.
So you would fancy Leicester to have too much for them. But we don't know how Leicester are going to react. Leicester have been essentially coming through tests every single week.
That's right.
Because it's got harder and harder for them emotionally and in terms of concentration and pressure to keep delivering. Mm. And there's another test for them this weekend after what Spurs did on Monday. Mm-hmm. And Spurs obviously play after Leicester again this weekend. So every single time we sort of think, they're question marks about how Leicester are going to react. Yeah. And every time they come through it. But they're coming through it sort of more slimmer and slimmer margins.
Yeah.
And I do think Leicester will close it out. We talked about this before we came on air. They only really need to win twice more, I think, really.
Well, three times, definitely.
Yeah, but twice out of four. And two of those games are home against teams they really should beat. Mm-hmm. So you would fancy them to do it, but it could be very, very, very interesting indeed this time next week.
I mean, obviously there's a little assumption there that Spurs won't win the rest of their games.
I don't think Spurs will win every game. I think I can see them winning three and drawing one. I can see them drawing at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
But if they do win every single game, they probably deserve to win the title, because that is key form at the right time. So you can't argue with that.
Absolutely right.
But I also heard today that Vardy and Leicester have decided not to appeal against the FA charge. So they're going to open themselves up to Vardy probably getting another game ban. So he probably is going to be out for two now of recording.
Which will be away to Manchester United.
Yeah.
But then they would perhaps adapt their game a little bit there. I mean, the encouraging
against
thing...
against Man City, you mean?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the encouraging thing for Manchester United is when Ojoa has been called upon, just off the top of my head, he has scored a few goals. I mean, he's only scored a few goals, but he's made a vital contribution, and he's scored winning goals and equalising goals. And the way he stepped up and took that penalty, he's not lacking confidence, which is encouraging.
And I mean, this has been Leicester's thing, isn't it? They're not a one-man team, however it might look, in a sense. They're absolutely not. They've got quality all over the pitch.
Certainly not, Jim. We are going to talk more about them footballs after this.
Heads up, it's the Ramblers.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. Before we talk about FA Cup, did you hear about Rochdale?
No.
And Gillingham, they drew 1-1 this week. During a break in play, the Rochdale PA announcer said that someone had left their car headlights on, and the Rochdale midfielder, Callan Camps, lovely name, heard the announcement and realised it was his car.
Wow.
Did he have his keys in his pocket? Did he have keys in his sock?
I knew I forgot to do something.
That's fantastic.
That is weird. Do you think footballers listen to the PA?
Well, it's lucky he did.
Evidently, yeah.
Lucky they did.
They say they zone it all out, don't they? But evidently not.
Yeah. I imagine middle of the game he was saying to the coach on the bench, right, third hook in the dressing room along, in my jacket pocket, the inside pocket.
Oh, that's where you keep it.
While making tackles as well. Yeah. Professional to the last.
He's in midfield. It's a key moment, right? It's not that he's up front and he can just rest on his heels for a bit.
Yeah.
He's got to get right amongst it. That's funny.
But it did get sorted.
I love that every so often, because football is obviously so professionalised these days, but sometimes in the lower leagues these things come up and you think, yeah, still the game I used to know and love.
That's right. Could still make it.
Well, I can certainly listen. I'm very proficient at leaving my headlights on my car. That's all it takes.
Let's talk about the FA Cup semi-finals. Then it's that time again. Everton versus Manchester United at Wembley. Everton didn't get a good result against Liverpool. They were hammered, quite frankly. Martinez looks like he's struggling. Some of the players looking like they've lost a bit of faith in him.
Everton are Jekyll and Hyde, and the reason I say that is because they're so poor in the Premier League. Their home record, I think only Aston Villa have won fewer games than them at home this season.
That's
in the
crazy,
league.
Isn't it?
So in the league, they've been very, very poor. But in the FA Cup, they literally haven't conceded a goal, Graham. They literally haven't, Rude.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they pulled out that result against Chelsea, beat them 2-0, and they look good.
It's not good enough for me, Clive.
No? You can't ask for any more than that, can you? So you wonder whether actually their name might be on the trophy this year. You never know. They're 10-3, but 2-6-5.
And Martinez, he knows how to win the cup, Jim.
Well, he does, but I wonder about this.
Well,
they're not in good form. They're slightly demoralised. The Liverpool defeat is clearly taking a toll on them. Martinez, after the game, said it felt awful.
Liverpool just knocking it about.
Yeah,
like they're having a walk in the park.
Just like the Merseyside Globetrotters, just having a lovely old time.
There was one moment where they knocked about 14 passes around with volleys and
everyone was cheering.
Yeah, and Lucas had a shot, which is obviously terrible because he never scores. And it cut to the bench and Klopp's out laughing, having a great old time, like it was some sort of like 40th birthday party.
Yeah, but
disrespectful to a historic
club.
This
turned into a training ground match.
Yeah, we already got the ball, that didn't it? Coutinho's goal was like the most casual sort of 25 yarder you're ever going to see. It's easy for them.
If Klopp really wanted to be disrespectful, should he have just started chucking out bibs for them to put on?
Cones, like walking the pitch putting cones out.
Well, this was finished ages ago.
That's probably why Funes Mori got so angry and got himself sent off, because Liverpool were just taking the mickey out.
It was a horrendous tackle.
Terrible. And it's sad to see, because it looks like Origi might be injured and he's just coming into form, and obviously a young player, only 21 and all that stuff. Yeah. Very, very nasty, that.
Only Christian Benteke is going to be relieved by that.
Well, quite.
I might get to play for Belgium.
And I wonder, just given what we talked about with Vardy, the fact that Vardy's going to get an extra game ban for being abusive to a referee, and clearly we realise that that's not acceptable and we don't endorse that. If a player goes out to injure a player like that, and it's clear for everyone to see, he goes out to hurt the guy, you can see he's done that. Surely he should be pulled up in front of the beak for that as well. Because that's more damaging.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure we will see.
Funes Mori may break my bones, but Vardy's words will never hurt me.
Okay.
Quite. That, in a weird way, that's actually correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly the point I was making.
Thank you.
I must say, I can't see anything other than a Man United win here. I just think they've got what they need.
They've been so convincing.
Maybe some Rashford heroics at Wembley.
Hey, that'd be nice.
Mm. Well, they've got more momentum, haven't they?
Man United have only lost one of their last four, five in the league, and that was against the the barn burners that are Spurs.
Yeah.
The massive 3-0 win.
It's not the league, though, is it, mate?
No, it's not. It's true. Yeah. And Everton haven't conceded a goal in the league, in the cup yet, as I've already said. Mm. And maybe, actually, Everton, a bit of a departure away from Goodison Park. It's a day out for everyone. There might be a bit more of a positive atmosphere, and that could work in their favour.
And their famous fan, Speedo Mick, will be there.
Speedo Mick, yeah.
We've seen him on the telly.
He's walked Speedo's. All the way down. He'll probably be asleep, won't he? treat yourself to a beer. Yeah. I've just walked 500 miles. I'm having a
11 days.
I'm going to crash.
For charity, he's walked 11 days from Liverpool to Wembley.
Staying in hotels.
Imagine if he misjudged it and he turned up a day late.
That wouldn't be ideal, would it?
Wouldn't be funny, Jim.
No.
It's for charity. Mm. Crying out loud. I think, what if Manchester United won the cup and finished fourth? Would that be a good season for them? I mean, it would be Arsenal's traditional season.
Yeah, no, over the last 2 years, which has been successful.
Yeah.
I think you can't say it wouldn't be, really. No club can sniff at winning a trophy, I think, especially with the recent history of Man United. It'd be a step in the right direction.
Van Gaal would give it the big one like they'd just won the treble.
And United haven't won the FA Cup for a very long time.
Yeah.
But the point is, though, that Van Gaal's either going to be there one more season or he's not going to be there beyond this summer. So there's no sort of long-term planning in place, as far as I know yet, unless they're going to give Giggs the job. So while it would be a good... there are positives about Van Gaal. I mean, if they lift the FA Cup, that's clearly a big positive. First FA Cup for a while. He's brought young players through.
Yeah.
A lot of that's been forced on him by injury, I know that, but he has, to be fair to him.
He has done that in the past.
He has. He brought Kluivert through for the first time.
I mean, his Ajax side was ridiculously young.
Did he give Xavi and Iniesta their debuts as well?
Oh, he might have done.
He definitely gave Kluivert his debut.
Okay.
And so he's got a history of bringing these players through. He's brought Rashford through, he's done well.
Yeah. Fosu Mensah.
So looking back on it, I mean, I think history might treat him a bit more kindly. If he wasn't so combative in his press conferences, I think maybe he might get a little bit more of a bit of slack.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if they won the cup and finished fourth, then leave in the summer, let Jose take over.
It's funny with Van Gaal, isn't it? Because people think that he's constantly on the verge of losing the plot because he's so combative in press conferences, as you say. But he's always been like that. It's completely consistent.
But he's just a bit older now, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
But his team's not winning the league and cleaning up like they did at Barcelona and Bayern. Yeah, and
of course. But there's strangely been very little change in his demeanour.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. In the other semi-final, Crystal Palace against Watford. Apparently, Big Pals had a meeting with his players during their slump where he admitted to making mistakes and invited the players to give him honest feedback. He said, tell me exactly what you're feeling here, which is quite a brave thing to do in one sense. Pardew said about the players being able to speak their minds, well, according to the media, I don't take any criticism because it's all about me, of course. So very rarely will I accept criticism.
This sounds like it happened at 2 a.m. in Crystals.
Yeah.
around the table.
No,
and you're
no.
Come on, be honest. Be honest.
Tell
you can
me.
Say what you want now.
No, don't tell the DJ to put the music down. I can hear you. What?
And it probably wasn't the players, it was their wives.
Yeah.
And it was, do you still think I've got it? what do you think of this shirt?
I'm distancing myself from that.
Do you like my shoes?
Mm. What about the cologne? Too much? Should I just go with one? Is there a smell clash?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to say that.
No, go on. Because
I literally can't.
This is a battle between managers. I mean, because Kike Sanchez Flores is the suave man that Pardew thinks he is.
Phil Brown thinks he looks, isn't it?
If Pardew could have a chance, he would love to be Kike Sanchez Flores.
For a day, he'd have a brilliant time.
I think. I know what you mean, but I think Pardew is slightly different look, and I think he's happy with his look.
You reckon?
Yeah,
very happy with himself.
Very much.
If he's made of chocolate, he'd eat himself, wouldn't he, Pardew?
Yeah.
If he's made of an ice cream, he'd lick himself.
If he's made of bourbon, he'd drink himself up. Would he?
Yeah. You got any more?
I think he'd
mash himself.
Hey, he's just happy being the king.
If he's a sweet potato,
he'd mash himself.
And then eat himself. Anyway, let's move on swiftly.
If he was a Yorkshire pudding, he'd pour gravy all over himself, wouldn't he?
Jim?
No, that's enough. I actually got a serious point I want to make, which is that these two teams are quite evenly matched.
They are.
And it's a very tough game to call. I can remember Palace beating Watford at Watford, and Zaha was absolutely fantastic that game. Yeah. Kabaye scored a penalty, it was 1-0. But actually, I was looking it up, and Watford beat Palace at Selhurst Park, so it's very, very evenly matched.
Yeah. It's a fascinating one, this, isn't it? Because there's not a clear favourite. Obviously, Watford are higher in the league, but both have been struggling a little bit in terms of results. And it's hard to know how this is going to go, isn't it? Because both have nothing to lose and both have everything to lose. Mm. So will it be cagey? Will it be really open? How's it going to go, Marcus?
Yeah, I mean, if Pardew was a Czech, he'd cash himself in.
He would.
Old school.
I don't know.
Old school.
I think 4 days is too long for Pardew. He would pay for himself by a contact list.
He would.
Have I cleared yet? Fuck Learjet. Can I draw on these funds? Get his guns out.
When you're the king, you're clear when you want. Oh, no.
I think this could be a better one than the other game, actually, because it has the potential to be a slugfest. Both teams, I think they might
be a slugfest.
Well, yeah. I think both teams, I think Watford will play it quite cagey and try and frustrate Palace, because I think Palace, on paper, certainly, have maybe got a little bit more going forward, although, if you know, Deeney is been such a good player for Watford, and Ighalo, although he's been off the boil a little bit, but I think they could set up to frustrate Palace, and but I could see in the second half that glorious moment, you know, in a big FA Cup match, hopefully the sun's out at Wembley, where both teams suddenly just go,
let's have a go.
This is there for the taking, and it's suddenly the gloves come away and the punches start raining down on each other. I think it could be a good one.
Yeah,
into the second half though,
really could. I would love to see Jason Puncheon get the winner, because scoring that goal meant so much to him a couple of weeks ago, and it's interesting to see a human side of a footballer like that, and it'd be a great moment for him.
It's true, but I don't think he will.
No, because our bet of the week with Bet365 is going to be Manchester United and Watford to both go through inside 90 minutes in the FA Cup semi-finals.
Yep.
That is around 5-1, so our £50 stake will net us around £300, including the stake, of course. So a £250 profit, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. So, but please remember, you must be over the age of 18 to bet, and you must gamble responsibly. And for more information on responsible gambling, you should go to
gambleaware.co.uk. Absolutely right. I think that's a decent bet, because I think Manchester United, well, they do have more than Everton, obviously, and Everton, off the back of that result, I think their tails will be between their legs a little bit. But Watford and Palace, as I say, is the harder one to call, but I do think Watford will come through there. I think Sanchez Flores will set up his team and he'll out-tactic Pardew. Do we have any correspondence?
You've got a fair few emails continuing on the theme of celebrity spots, and some of these have got photo evidence. So, I mean, I'm going to read you a couple of emails, and you may be tempted to say, oh, I don't know if that actually happened. Well, the photos are here. So
that's Jim's head on someone else's body.
No, it did happen. Jim's emails don't get through anymore.
No.
First up, though, we've got this one. Hi, guys. I'd like to respond to your email from Mark on Monday's show.
Oh.
Mark, who was complaining about us.
Mark Speller.
No, not Mark Speller, I don't think. He said, I too am from Australia, and I've also been listening to the show for about 4 years. However, that is where the similarities end. I am a Fulham fan, and I very much enjoy your treatment of Chelsea this year. I'm happy to drink... I'm happy to drink my pint, order another, and stay for the lock-in. I'm not going anywhere.
Good lad.
Best regards, Andre, but you can call me Brett.
Thank you, Brett.
Brett, Andre.
So a bit of support from the Australian faction of our listenership there. Here we go. This is from Liam Corbett, and he does start by saying, sorry, this is a bit long, so I'll go through it as quick as I can. He said, my email won't beat the Pele spot, but I'm going to tell it nonetheless. I was the best man on the stag do in Vegas, and while at a pool party at the MGM, the DJ announced that his main man, the greatest soccer player in the world, Ronaldinho, is in the house.
Oh, full of money.
So a group of us got hold of a beach ball and tried to impress his entourage near the VIP area.
I love it. Look, couldn't even get to him. Yeah. The entourage is so thick, you've just got to impress them one by
That's
one.
That's the first stage.
Till they open, like the sea for Moses.
It's like an end of level boss. You don't get to roll there till the end. He said, anyway, the party was coming to an end, and as we were leaving, the groom said that because I was his best man, it was my duty to go and get us to meet him. So we walked up to security and explained the situation, and he wasn't having any of it, and said that Ronaldinho wanted privacy and all that stuff. But at that exact moment, Ronaldinho appeared and waved us in.
Oh, wow.
He was only too happy to have a photo with the groom after hiding any trace of alcohol from the shot.
that took about 5 minutes. Yeah.
He didn't speak much English, but after taking the photo, I walked over to him, shook his hand and asked him when he was going to sign for West Ham. Presumably he's a West Ham fan. And apparently Ronaldinho then, and there's a photo to prove this, made the crossed hammers sign with his arms.
Wow.
There you go. He said, I had no idea I needed a sign, but we hung around for a bit and were invited out to a club later that night by his friends who spoke English. They were all very nice. It was an awesome day and it was great to meet him. So there you go.
Did they go to the club?
Sounds like they did.
Wouldn't you love to go out on the wreck with Ronaldinho?
Part of me would, and another part of me might think that normality would just change forever.
Yeah.
Maybe it's best to keep away.
But
they also
say you shouldn't meet your heroes. You know, you never know. Absolutely. You might be disappointed. But apparently Ronaldinho's a very nice man. I got this from Josh Kilminster as well. He says
That's a great one, by the way. Thank you very much for that.
It's brilliant.
This section's a who's who. We had Pele, we had Ronaldinho, we had all sorts. I'm about to give you another one. I'm about to give you a name.
Toby Anstis, don't forget.
Possibly
him.
Even bigger.
Go on.
Possibly even bigger, from Josh Kilminster, who says, a few years ago, I went on holiday to Turkey, and it was the same year that of the World Cup in South Africa, so 2010. Sitting in the amphitheatre, the holiday rep made it blatantly obvious that Howard Webb...
No way.
Howard Webb was sitting in there.
Oh. My God.
Minutes later, he stormed out after what seemed like the whole hotel swarmed around him asking for pictures, because, of course, he had just refereed the World Cup final.
Did.
For the rest of the holiday, he was followed around the swimming pool by tens of kids squirting him with water pistols, while his own kids looked rather dejected by the fact that he was spending more time with some random children than his own. My brother and I entered a raft-building competition later in the week, and we were put up against him and his daughter, and we won.
Yeah! Aww.
Their raft was shit. He says, if you don't believe me, here's a rather awkward-looking 13-year-old me with Howard Webb, just for further proof. And it's in there. It's in there.
That's fantastic.
I'm liking the photo evidence. It really, adds a level to this game.
Mm. Would you like to hear one without any photo evidence?
Yeah, go on.
This is really quick from David Abbott. He says, I just wanted to share the time I met Stuart Pearce at Reading Festival.
Oh, wow.
It was a Sunday evening and I was eagerly waiting to see Nora and the Whale when out of the corner of my eye, I spotted none other than Psycho himself. Fueled with the confidence that only a few days' worth of cheap cider can provide, I stumbled over the foot to the former England captain and loudly asked him, are you Stuart Pearce? Yes, he replied. Sadly, I hadn't thought this far ahead of the conversation, so I just patted him on the arm, said well done and walked off.
Fair enough.
He says, best regards, hugs and kisses, David Abbott.
Thank you very much, Andre.
So keep those
Abbott.
Coming in. We're gonna have enough for a team sooner or later.
Yeah.
Ronaldinho, Pele, Stuart Pearce, Harold Webb to referee.
Toby Anstis.
Yeah. Anstis, he can be on the bench if
Don't
he wants.
Don't forget Anstis.
He can present the show.
He's in the broom cupboard.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Marvellous stuff. Well, that is the end of the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. Thank you very much. Get your emails in, show@thefootballramble.com, of course. We'll be back next week. Have a lovely weekend. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.